Luther once said this to his German people. He said, "For you should know that God's word and grace is like a passing shower of rain, which does not return where it has once been. It has been with the Jews, but when it's gone, and now they have nothing. Paul brought it to the Greeks, but again, when it's gone, and now they have the Turk. Rome and the Latins also had it, but when it's gone, and now they have the Pope. And you Germans need not think that you will have it forever, for ingratitude and contempt will not make it stay." Thus ends Luther. Now, his admonition isn't without scriptural warrant. In Amos, God says these words. He says, "Behold, the days are coming when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst of water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." That's Amos 8, verse 11. Famines of the gospel do come whenever God decrees to rip away his word. He takes away that by which he promises to give grace, compassion, and so leaves the people destitute. All this is in the gospel lesson today. In his usual fashion, Jesus uses parabolic literature to impress his teaching on the people. A master planted a vineyard. He erected a tower, dug a wine press, and put up a fence. Then he leased it to tenants with the expectation of gathering fruits at the proper time. When his first batch of servants is sent to get the fruits, they are beaten, stoned, and killed. But the master tries again. He sends even more servants the second time, but they suffer the same fate. And finally, the master decides to send his son, believing that the tenants will respect his son, but they don't. They only plot his demise, but want to kill him outside the vineyard that they thought was rightfully theirs. The master runs out of patience, and he will put the wretched tenants to death, and he will give the vineyard to fruitful tenants. Jesus' parable hits the mark. The Pharisees and the chief priests, they hear it and realize that Jesus is directing his parables at them. But the words don't exactly sink in. Rather, in an ironic twist, they fulfill Jesus' prophetic parable by only plotting to arrest the Son of Glory. The Old Testament background of this parable is obvious. God's Israelites had everything: abundant land, prophets, a place to worship, a forgiving and gracious God who had brought them out of Egypt. But the Old Testament is largely a narrative of the downward spiral of a nation that had everything, physical, spiritual, but lost it due to her unfaithfulness. Jerusalem, a stronghold city, captured by David and the mighty capital of Israel, it becomes the city who stones the prophets and kills the servants who call God's people to repentance and faith in the God of their salvation. The vineyard had everything: the protection of a fence, a hedge, protecting and guiding the people, the word of God setting limits on how far they could go in their freedom. There was a tower, ministers and prophets called to watch out over the people, serve them, tend them, take care of them. There was a wine press. God gave them everything they need to sustain them in their bodies and in their souls. Israel had these things. But Jesus gives her a warning in today's parable. He says, "I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruits. Faithful servants, a righteous law, and a powerful saving gospel." God still gives these things to his church. His law, the parts of God's word where he tells you what you need to do. It's like a hedge, protection, setting limits on how far we can go. It stops us from exercising our personal freedoms too much. Whenever we go beyond God's law, when we jump over his word to do what we want to do to gratify the desires of sinful flesh, it only hurts yourself and others around you, physically, spiritually. God still sends faithful workers into his harvest to speak the full counsel of his word. But they are to be faithful men, boldly proclaiming God's holy word, calling people to repentance and faith in Christ. God gives you wine, and he gives you bread. This gift is called the Lord's Supper, and it is instituted by Christ himself and is given to nourish and sustain the faithful. We receive forgiveness and life in this meal because in it, quite simply, you receive the body and blood of your Lord Jesus Christ. People of God, God gives you these things for your good. He gives you that which nourishes and sustains his vineyard, that which enlivens and keeps his church. So please do not neglect hearing the word of God. Please do not despise this sacred meal by which you consume salvation, a gift to be grasped, received by faith, enduring to life everlasting. Please do not neglect what your God has done for you and continues to do for his church, the vineyard that he has called you into. God plants his vineyard. He puts in the towers, the fence, and the wine press. God has established his church, and he provides everything you need for your protection, growth, and salvation. But, the admonition of Jesus that his kingdom will be taken away from those who reject it. Luther's quote, those things still apply to us. History is replete with examples of God withdrawing his precious gifts. It's his vineyard, it's his church, but boy, we are tempted to rob it for ourselves. We can think of all sorts of ways that God could do a better job running his church, right? Word and sacrament, we hear that phrase a lot. And they are precious gifts from God, and certainly the bedrock of confessional Lutheranism. By these divine gifts, word and sacrament, God promises that he will nourish and sustain, he will grow his vineyard. But don't kid yourself. There are those who would quickly deny God of this privilege. There are those who would quickly exchange the power of God's word, the efficacy of holy baptism, and the power in the Lord's Supper for creative church growth techniques. Friends, imagination cannot keep up with those things man has smuggled into the church of God in order to attract people, but at the expense of God's word and sacraments, all the while killing the vineyard. Simply put, you neglect the things of God, and you end up neglecting your salvation. Fruits of the Spirit come by those who possess the Spirit, in various ways from those called to repentance and faith. But that pesky law of God that tells us what we have to do, the law of God that drives people to repent, we want to throw it off our backs, ignore it, throw it away. We don't like fences. We don't want boundaries. We want to do what works best for us, and we will be the judge of that. But let us learn from the wicked tenets. The wicked tenets in the gospel lesson, they did not bear any fruit, and they only wanted to kill God's servants when they came seeking fruit to the gospel. The temptation is there to hijack the vineyard and take it for ourselves. The stone rejected is the cornerstone that crushes. The Christ killed is the Christ raised on the third day, rising to live for eternity and bring his people with him. You, friends, have been given a vineyard. In other words, you have been made, brought into God's church, a communion of saints, baptized into his kingdom, and washed in the blood of the Lamb. That is the promise. In a world of Ebola and wicked death, rulers, endless wars, and a devastated creation where Christ and his kingdom is attacked by a relentless enemy, in a world where we work very hard for our food, and battle the voices within calling us to sin, believe me when I tell you, you want the vineyard that God has established, complete with his tower, fence, and wine press. Let us pray that God continues to send faithful workers into his harvest that is always plentiful. You have his holy word, You have it. That guides us, leads us, protects us, convicts us of sin, and saves us. Remember what Scripture says about the gospel. The gospel is the power of salvation. You have the cornerstone who is Jesus. He is the rock of your salvation who has crushed sin and death, so we can live in the confidence of knowing our salvation is secure, it is intact. What this amounts to is, in a world full of sin, the world need not scare us, because the baptized believer belongs to God in Christ. The kingdom of God belongs to you because of his Son Jesus, sent into the vineyard, who came into his creation to suffer and die. As Jesus hung upon the cross, it looked like a victory for the tenants, a victory for the wicked world. It looked like the world had won when Jesus hung bleeding on Calvary's cross. But in reality, friends, in reality, it was defeat. It was a defeat for Satan, sin, and even death. Christ reigns. The stone the builders have rejected is your capstone. I leave you with this. You have been given a vineyard by Christ. He has made you a part of his church. And he gives you everything you need to satisfy your hunger and thirst for salvation. Don't be afraid. The wine is rich, the bread eternal. Amen. Now the grace of God that surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus from now unto life everlasting. Amen.